I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
David Dusick of Golf Week does not care about the Pharrell Ballers at all, but he does care about the PGA Championship getting ready to go on Thursday. Mr. Dusick, do we have him? How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm right here. You were so mellow there. I thought you'd switch to decaf or something like that tonight. My goodness, that was quite an opening from you, Scott.
Yeah, I actually am chugging this caramel coffee the size of Mount Everest right now, and it's filled with coffee grinds in my teeth.
The kind of coffee cup that comes with an undertow? You need like a life preserver in case you fall into it?
Bro, it's huge. And I chug them like 5 cups of coffee a night, and each one of them just loaded with caramel, like would kill most people. But I love it. It's just awesome. I used to drink a lot of booze. Now I drink a lot of that. It kind of sucks, to be honest with you.
Hey, we're all getting old. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm 52. I'm still winning titles, son. I don't know about you.
Let's talk golf and get off of my losing streak.
All right. So can Jordan Spieth win, obviously, another one and then make the – what would it be, like the youngest – is he the youngest ever to do the slam?
Yes. Jordan Spieth, if he is able to win on Sunday and hoist up the Wanamaker Trophy, would be the youngest player ever to complete the career Grand Slam. Right now there have only been 5 players in the history of the game, really in the modern era, who have done this. Gene Sayers and Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. And Spieth, if he's able to win, would be the youngest of them to ever join that group.
Let's get things clear, though, here. It's the Pharrellamaker Trophy, as you know.
Well, I know they had misspelled it on the other 98 times that they played this tournament and hoisted that bad boy up there. It holds a lot of beer. I can tell you from experience, you can fit a lot of beer into that trophy.
What are they going to do when they move it to Bethpage in May? What's that all about? Because of the NFL, what are they afraid of?
Well, I think that you know what they're afraid of. I mean, basically, the PGA Tour schedule and golf as a whole just never stops. And so what the guys in Ponte Vedra are doing who run professional golf here in the United States is that they want to line up and have a season that really sort of gets underway. You know, they're going to have still a wraparound season, but you're going to have one big tournament every month starting in March because the Players' Championship, which has been in May, is going to move up to March. So you're going to, in March, you're going to have the Players. Then we've got Augusta that we go to in April. Then we're going to go starting a couple of years with the PGA Championship. We're going to have that in May, then June for the U.S. Open, July for the British Open, and then the month of August basically is going to be the playoff run, which is going to start here in a couple of weeks. And that allows them to finish and have the Tour Championship and be done with the bulk of the season, depending on exactly how they do this, probably over like Labor Day weekend or maybe one more weekend after that, which then, of course, means that pro football and college football take to the airwaves. Everybody's TV ratings get crushed. There will still be tournaments being played because sponsors want to pony up the money, and some of the players are going to want to still get out there, the guys who exit stage left and the players, and they lose out on the playoffs. But the big boys are going to be hanging it up for the most part, you know, other than Ryder Cup every other year. They're going to be hanging it up by the middle of September, and that gives them an opportunity to have something of an off season. They may go and play some big money events in Asia, and then a couple of them will play European Tour events. But they like the idea of having this more contained, more compact you know, basically the major part of the schedule rather than having it spread out. And then every 4 years, golf is back in the Olympics and we'll be in Japan for 2020. And that means that you'll be able to have the Olympics, which are contested in August. It's not going to mess up really the schedule like it did last year for tournaments and major championships getting routed around. So they basically just cleaned this whole thing up, Scott, made it, I think, a better deal. And we'll be looking forward to heading over to Bethpage in May, where the temperature usually is mid-60s. I mean, we're both tri-state area guys. You can play Bethpage in May. It's usually beautiful.
Yeah, I played that course. It's brutal. What a just an absolutely evil golf course. It is so hard. It'll make you cry to your mama. Let me ask you, the legendary David Dusick on the bench. He's been on for years. He sets the standard. He has a locker and a parking spot at the club and has free booze in the 19th hole. I got to ask you, seriously, about betting for this thing, I'm, you know, honestly, it's always the same people, and I want to hurl. I got to ask you, do you have the guts to take Matsuyama in back-to-back weeks with the way he was striking the ball at Firestone? It was insane. I played that course, too, and what a great golf course that is. I thought I love Matsuyama's game. The 61 was sickening. Everyone says he can't go back-to-back. Why not?
Well, no, I think that's bogus. I think that's just short-sightedness. Is it difficult to go back-to-back? Of course. Yeah, absolutely. But Hideki Matsuyama has a game that if he putts decent, not great, not like, you know, lights out, but just good enough, the rest of his game gives him numerically so many opportunities because he's so good off the tee, just like you saw at Firestone. And he is one of the five best iron players in the world. That on this golf course here at Quail Hollow, where it's going to play long, it's really wet, but the greens are pretty tricky. It's a huge advantage to be a big hitter, which he is, and to be really, really accurate with your irons to give yourself opportunities to make birdies. He is going to get more good chances to make birdies than probably any other player other than maybe Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy on the golf course. If he makes just an okay number, he will shoot really, really good scores. If he's bad with the putter, he'll just sort of hang around. When every other facet of your game is so good, then you're just going to get a chance here and here and here and here, and that's what he does. So can Hideki Matsuyama win? Absolutely. It's the same thing, for example, if you look at somebody like Justin Thomas, who's ranked number 14 in the world. He had a really hot start at the beginning of the season. The kid kills it, 145 pounds soaking wet, and he's pumping it out there, 330 off the tee. It's going to be those kind of players who are going to be the ones that are going to be really in tension. The guys who can't move the ball out there or do not really possess the type of iron game that you're going to need for this golf course, they will struggle because this is going to play long. It's going to play difficult. It's going to be the guy who has the best ball striking out there who happens to catch a hot putting week. That's going to be your winner. And Hideki Matsuyama, I think, Justin Thomas, those are the kind of guys, maybe Justin Rose, those are going to be the kind of dudes who will end up winning this tournament.
I hate to say it, but I'm going to take Rory because of two reasons. One, he has been playing great golf in the last couple of weeks. He's, think about it. Tied for fourth at the Open, four rounds in the 60s at Firestone, striking a ball, like you said, fantastically. And then this is why I really like him. Secondly, is the way he played last August at the end of the season. And the way he, just won everything. He won huge tournaments, tons of money. Did he not win the $10 million? I mean, the guy went nuts. Yeah. And then he just got so hot at the end of the season. I think he's getting hot right now. And I think at 7-1, he's a bet to do it again. And he's always played the PGA Championship. I think he's got three other top tens, and he's won it two of five the last five times. He loves the PGA Championship. I'm going to take Rory.
Well, he's also won two times on his golf course in PGA Tour events. I mean, he's done historically really, really well at Quail Hollow. I wrote in Golf Week magazine a couple of weeks ago that while Rory McIlroy was fussing around trying to find a putter and was getting really down on himself, he statistically is having a better putting year this year than he did last year. He's never been especially good, but he's another one of these guys. Because he just kills the ball off the tee. I mean, he was striping fairway woods today over 300 yards. You know, drivers, the range, he was literally hitting it through the driving range, Scott, with the driver today, pumping it out to 330, 340, hitting it into a practice green on the other side he was going so far. If he does that, you know, there's no way. He loves this golf course, and it plays absolutely to his strengths. And if you think about the golf courses where he's won his major championships, he wins the U.S. Open at Congressional. It was wet, and it played really long, just like this golf course. He wins a PGA Championship at Kiowa. He wins a PGA Championship at Valhalla. Those were really, really long, wet golf courses. And this setup right here, the way we've got it, is setting up exactly like that. The ball is not going to roll in the fairway. So guys who are shorter hitters, guys, you know, for example, like Zach Johnson, this does not favor somebody like that. They are going to have a lot of trouble getting the ball out there enough. They're hitting longer iron shots into the greens that are pretty firm, where somebody, for example, like Rory McIlroy will be hitting, you know, 8-iron. Zach Johnson's going to be hitting 3-iron. That's not a fair fight. So, yeah, the Rory McIlroy pick is – I see Rory McIlroy as the favorite to win this tournament based on the way that he plays and the success that he's had on this golf course.
No doubt. Hey, can you do another one? Can you talk a little more golf, or do you got to run?
I can stick around with
you. All right, because I want to talk to you about Jason Day, DJ, and Stenson, that group going off at 8:35 on a 10 tee. What a trio that is. And we'll talk about the other tee times, who's playing with who, and some other odds on golfers that you might want to go to the window on. We're talking with the great David Dusick of Golf Week about the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Starts Thursday.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. It's time to ask the pros. You get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet it at cbssportsradio with the hashtag askthepros. Be listening later. If I answer your question, we'll overnight you to your house. You'll get it tomorrow, a case of absolutely nothing.
You get nothing.
Before your travels begin, I'm going to the Caribbean Friday, son. Prepare for summer road trips. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for simple, preventable maintenance that'll ensure a safe journey. Hope I don't come back. During the summer months, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS. So when I'm in the Caribbean, I'll be chilling the most, and I'll have my little iPhone Jimmy and me, the PGA Championship, the whole time. I'll watch all four rounds while laying almost nude at the beach. And just, I'm just going to watch golf, as Mafia likes to say, down by the beach, boy. Yeah. So, David Dusick. Boy. So, David Dusick's with Golf Week. He's upset that I'm going to the Caribbean and he's going to North Carolina. In the morning, what do you think of that tee time I was talking about? That's sensational. Day, Johnson, and Stenson at 8:35 on a 10 tee. That's one to follow.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because I think you've got a couple of guys who, frankly, have underachieved so far this season. I mean, Jason Day, for some very good reasons, I mean, you and I have talked over the course of this year, his mom was diagnosed and received treatment for lung cancer earlier this year. So, rightfully, his brain was elsewhere, and really, you know, he's a guy who's somewhat injury prone. He did not have a very good first half of the year. He's coming on a little bit now, but I'm not loving, to be honest with you, Jason Day to win this particular tournament. I think he could play well, but the trouble for me for him is greens in regulation, which is a key stat from what we talked about in that last block. He's ranked 144th on the PGA Tour right now in greens in regulation. That's a problem. You know, Henrik Stenson is a player who historically I would have thought would be really, really good on this type of golf course. Hits it long, generally can pop it out there a little bit. But his numbers have gone down pretty significantly as well. So statistically, has not played a lot this season. He's only got 16 measured rounds on the PGA Tour this year. Has not been there. I think that Dustin Johnson could be perfect for this golf course. He has been sort of all over the place, really erratic, a very disappointing major season for him. Obviously, the tripping down the stairs and all that business before the start of the Masters. We really haven't seen Dustin Johnson in full flight in a major championship this year. He won a bunch of tournaments leading up to the Masters. But in that group, you know, I think that he's the one that I look for to come out of that group. There are plenty of other guys that can win this tournament, obviously. But I think that right now I don't know what to think of Jason Day or of Henrik Stenson coming out of that group.
So, David Dusick with us. You know, you got to start fast. Each of the last 17 major winners has broken par in the opening round, and none of the past 15 have been outside the top 10 on the leaderboard after 18 holes. In addition, the past four majors have been won by a player who led or shared the lead after 36 holes, and each of the past six majors have been won by a player who has first or second, at least, on the board through 54 holes. So, if you look at other guys, like the way Zach played at Firestone, the way Charlie Hoffman has been playing for a month and a half, how can you not like that group with those two playing together with Lee Westwood? I love the way Hoffman's hitting it.
Yeah, I think Hoffman's a really good pick, and you know, not if we're whatever, but you know, going off at plus 4,000 is pretty good odds for him. He's played great. He's been really good in the major championships this season. I don't think that this golf course sets up well as it stands for Zach. I think, you know, he just does not move the balls well off the tee. He can putt well. We know he's a tough dude. He's going to try and grind it out, but he generally does well when birdies are flying left, right, and center. He wins a lot on golf courses where you can take it low, and I don't think that that's going to be what happens. I think guys will be able to score, but this is not going to be one of those tournaments where we're going to probably get to 12, 15 under par, and a lot of times that's the course that favors Zach Johnson. look for somebody, for example, I think Scott, like Paul Casey. Paul Casey's coming off a plus 4,500, has been playing really, really well. A veteran player who is now a top 15, top 12 guy in the world, who does everything really, really well, has not broken through to win a major championship, has played this golf course numerous times. I like somebody like him a little bit more than I like somebody like Zach Johnson.
I like Casey. He's been playing a fantastic golf for sure. And he did it again at Firestone. He was right there. Why do people keep giving – tell me about Daniel Berger. He's getting a shot in this thing because he's, I guess, 68, close to a 67 in the Open last month. Is that why he's getting this juice?
Yeah, I think he's getting juice because he's done well at the Open. He's a fairways and greens guy. He's the player that was on the bad side of that famous, you know, shot at Hartford when Jordan Spieth ends up holding out from a bunker. He ends up the player he beat at the Travelers Championship with Daniel Berger. He's been around. He's won a couple of PGA Tour events. He's a savvy pick. I think that stage might be a little bit big for him yet. I think that there's a little more seasoning in his game, a little more that he needs to grind and work out. He could do it. But if you're looking for a young guy to break through, somebody that's really we don't know a whole lot about in the majors, John Rahm is the guy. I mean, he's finishing up his first full season on the PGA Tour from Spain. This guy is going to win, Scott, four or five major championships at least. There is no denying the talent. The talent is so good that his college coach, actually Phil Mickelson's brother, Tim, ends up quitting his job being the coach at Arizona State where Rahm was and becoming Rahm's agent. He wanted to hitch his pony to that gravy train right there because this kid
really
is can't miss. Oh, yeah. He is as can't miss as they get. He's got to keep his temper in check. Every once in a while, he'll get down on himself. But if you go up and down the line at the PGA Tour and ask guys, like, who's the guy that's just arrived?
Why? Does he got a temper? But does he slam clubs and stuff or swear or get mad?
He chews himself out. He droops the shoulders. He just starts pouting a little bit if things don't go his way. But I'll tell you what. Things don't go his way, very often. He's too good. Like, he's going to figure this out. And he could just talent his way around, sort of like what we've seen from Rory McIlroy, sort of like what we've seen from Dustin Johnson. He has that level of talent. He hasn't figured out all the pieces yet. He's won a PGA Tour event. He won at Torrey Pines, a big, long golf course that plays that way with nasty rough. He ends up winning that tournament for his first PGA Tour win in his first rookie season. He was runner-up to Dustin Johnson at the World Match Play Championships earlier this year, played down in Austin, Texas. He has universal respect for everybody. They know it's coming. And any given week, when he finally puts it all together, he's one of those guys that can just absolutely obliterate golf courses.
Do players like Spieth? I mean, I know he gets along with a few of those guys that he's drinking out of the claret jug with and the like, yep. And he's partied with some of the guys on tour that seemed to like him. What about the rest of the guys on tour?
Everybody loves him.
Really?
There's nothing left. Yeah. I have never heard, honestly, Scott, I've never heard a disparaging word about Jordan Spieth from any guy in the locker room. Everybody likes his caddy, Michael Greller. They're a great combination. They're really stand-up guys. The players and the caddies all really respect the fact that he refers to them as we. You know, that he sees he and his caddy out there as a team. He treats everybody with a lot of respect. Couldn't be a nicer guy. I've spoken with him several times. He's a great guy.
Why did Rory fire his caddy after the guy woke him up from the dead a few weeks ago? He's like, you're Rory Farrell and McIlroy. And then he got him out of his funk, and then he turned around and fired him?
Yeah, I don't know the whole story, and I'm not sure that Rory's ever going to give up the goat on that one. But J.P. Fitzgerald and Rory had been together for basically, going on 10 years. And Rory is saying all the right things. We're basically like, he's still a close friend of mine, one of the closest friends I've got. Obviously, he was just at his recent wedding. Everything was going good, but he just feels like, I need to make a change. I got to get something good. He's got one of his best friends basically just carrying the bag and not a professional caddy, not someone who's going to really be help to him other than just keeping him in a good mindset out there right now. And in the off season, I would imagine after we get through with the FedEx Cup playoffs, Rory's going to be out there shopping and looking for a caddy. So right now, the hottest job opening in golf is Rory McIlroy's caddy.
What is David Dusick, badass Golf Week with us? What is the reaction to Tiger Woods going into the diversion program for his pill popping?
Crickets, to be honest with you. I think that everybody out on the tour is like, okay, that's where that story is next.
Really?
Tiger is just not somebody I think that right now people think a whole lot about day in and day out. There's certainly, you know, that news comes out today, you know, less than 24 hours before we're pegging it up for the last major championship of the season. Everybody's looking forward at this point. And we haven't seen Tiger Woods inside the ropes, you know, since what, like February? He played that one tournament where he pulled out in the Middle East. He hasn't done anything like that. He's been really out of the eye of golfers and really not in anybody's mind except for them wishing him well in a recovery and getting over addiction and all that kind of stuff. But as far as like what the reaction is, I think that people are interested, fans and people who just follow the sport are following the storyline. But basically right now I think everything is thinking about Quail Hollow. Can Rory complete the slam? Or excuse me, can Jordan Spieth complete the career grand slam? Is Rory going to get there? Are a couple guys, like, for example, Brooks Koepka, going to maybe win a second major this year? Well, those are the things that are much more in the forefront of people's minds now instead of Tiger.
Wow. So great stuff. Jimmy Walker, the defending champ. It starts Thursday at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. They play a lot of tournaments there. Players seem to like the course. The 99 PGA Championship. David, enjoy the tournament. Always love these majors. Always love having you on the bench. You're fantastic. I hope it's a great tournament. I'll be watching from the Caribbean. And then when I get back from the Caribbean, I'm going to Mayweather-McGregor. And then I'm hosting a week of shows for the first week of college football in Las Vegas as well. I'll be in Vegas so long, they'll probably bring me back in a casket.
Awesome. A casket that will probably smell like coffee grounds?
Probably. Or Carver High's Hurl, my producer, he'll probably hurl on my casket. He's off in New Orleans right now, hurling right now as we speak. David, thanks for coming on the bench.
Thanks a lot. Anytime, Scotty.
I love David Dusick, great golf guy, insider with Golf Week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.